Welcome. I'm Jessica Teigen, and this is the Evolving to Exceptional podcast, where we talk about reaching peak performance in our workplaces, homes, and communities so that we can live our best life possible, an exceptional life. Welcome back to this week's episode of the Evolving to Exceptional podcast. We have Regina Huber with us today, and Regina is coming to us with just a wealth of knowledge and information and background that she can bring to us around leadership. So she owns the organization Transformational Leadership. Is that right?
Transform your performance.
Transform your performance. Yes. She is a transformational leadership coach and an international speaker, author of Speak Up, Stand Out, and Shine. So written multiple books, co-authored a number of other books as well, been featured in multiple magazines, and just has a number of different individually created programs that she provides around coaching and leadership. Regina, I would love for you to just tell us a little bit about all of how you got to where you are today and what it is that makes you so passionate about these topics on leadership and all of these programs and work you've done to try to really make a difference in terms of leadership and performance.
Yes, sure. Thanks for having me, first of all, Jessica. It's a pleasure and a delight to be here. And I want to also welcome everybody who's listening to us. So it's all started on a small farm in Bavaria, Germany. I grew up as the shyest kid in town, probably, or in the village, I should say, because it really only consisted of 9 houses back then. And what always was inside of me, though, was this adventurous spirit, and it somehow pushed me out into the world. It did run a little bit in my father's lineage already. I found out more about that later, but at the time, I didn't really know why I had this urge to get to know the world, probably because of my insatiable curiosity, which happens to be my top leadership trait, by the way. And so I moved to Munich at the age of 19 to study, and from there then abroad to Madrid first, and worked a lot with Portugal. I did work in Brazil. I lived in Brazil twice. I lived in Argentina twice. I lived in California and so on. And I've also more recently spent 8 months in 6 African countries. I had businesses in Argentina, Brazil, and later in New York City. When I moved there about now, probably like 13 years ago, 11 years ago, I stopped counting. And yes, I worked for a global consulting firm, the Boston Consulting Group, in several different locations. When I moved to Madrid at the age of 26, just a year later, they saw something in me that I didn't even see myself. They saw this leadership potential, and they promoted me into a leadership position that was opening up at the time, which was the highest in the non-consulting staff arena. And this was a big step for me, really, back then. I had to learn basically everything by doing. I did not have a relevant background for this position, really. But, you know, somebody saw the spark and they gave me the chance. And that's when the whole leadership journey started. Later on, I worked in different roles at the Boston Consulting Group in different locations. I helped them open the Portuguese and Brazilian offices and so on. Also worked for them in California. But then I had the urge to just do something completely different. And that's when I moved actually back to Argentina, where I'd been before for a little bit, and started my own business. And again, I learned a lot about leadership through this business, even also standing up against corruption. I learned courageous leadership. I learned to, you know, go against the odds sometimes, and a lot of resilience for sure. And the same then in Brazil. When I got to New York in 2011, 2012, I thought, okay, what can I do now with all the stories, all the experience I had had? Some of them were painful. Some of them were very joyful, right? It's these ups and downs in life. And how can I bring all this very eclectic experience and these eclectic skills together into something that was meaningful and that was helpful to others? And this is how Transform Your Performance was born as a business. And I do mostly, you know, one-on-one coaching, some group coaching as well, training and speaking engagements here.
So tell me, just to kind of start off, what does transforming your performance mean? What is the outcome of that, or what goes into transforming your performance?
Yes, it's a very individual journey, a customized journey. That's why I love one-on-one coaching for my clients, because every single one is so different. They are all on a different life and career path, and we need to respect this. We are all unique beings. There's a meaning behind that, as you know, Jessica. We come to this earth with unique gifts, and we then add on some skills and studies, and we have a specific background. All of this makes our unique package of who we are, this very authentic brilliance, and that's what I work with my clients to bring out. I like to phrase this as know, own, and show your value, because oftentimes, especially with women, we are told you have to own your value, but a lot of times you don't even exactly know what that is. Mm. So we need to the bottom of this and really own it first, so that others can then see it. Of course, transformational coaching is about the transformation, right? It's not just working on situations, although we do that. We work on specific situations to resolve them. I help my clients move through them more successfully, maybe get a promotion, get a raise, or whatever their next career goal is or their leadership challenge is. However, at the same time, we want to do it in a way that creates a learning, a transformation that they can take with them for the rest of their careers and lives.
So I'm curious, with your clients, with those that you've worked with in terms of leadership, mm-hmm. what do you find? And you really get to know them, I think, one-on-one in those settings mm-hmm. that you talked about to customize, you know, your approach to them. And I'm a huge proponent of that. I think one of the challenges I always see is that so many programs are cookie cutter, like these 7 steps or these 6 habits mm-hmm. and what works for one person doesn't always work for another person. And so I love that your programs are customized in that way. What do you see as being one of the biggest common challenges or common issues across the people that you're working with or the leaders that you're coaching?
Yes, I would say one of them is communication and positioning. Whether it's that you want to achieve something for yourself in your career or whether you negotiate for someone else, we negotiate constantly, right? In our lives and in our careers. And whether, you need to communicate something a little bit challenging to your team, it is a negotiation. How do you position this, right? I have also found that conversational intelligence, I studied this specifically for coaches, and a conversational intelligence has helped me a lot because it helps building trust. It helps with navigating through your team conversations in a way that makes more sense for everybody. It helps you have more successful negotiations, which is also why I created one program that is specifically, and this is actually an online program, but it's a program where you specifically learn how to create a mindset that supports successful negotiations, but also then bring in the skills to have, specifically in this case, successful salary negotiations. A lot of this also applies to other negotiations, but salary negotiations are a little bit more, are a bit different. So I made something specific for this. However, back to your question, I believe that the most critical, essential leadership skill has to do with self-leadership. Absolutely. That's the one thing that we all must master as leaders, or else we cannot be authentic leaders. We cannot lead effectively in the long run. It's not sustainable. Right.
Do you find that that's missing a lot for leaders? Is that just missing when they first become leaders? Or do you find that actually people who've been in leadership or management roles for a while still struggle with that self-leadership component?
I do think that that is a big challenge for many people because they sometimes just do not take enough time out of their busy schedules to do this self-discovery work, the self-awareness that then leads to self-leadership. And it, and self-awareness also leads to transformation automatically, right? And that's the beautiful thing about it. It's not just serving others more through your better leadership. It's also serving you more in your life and in your success. And, you know, I even think, although a lot of people don't do it on purpose, intentionally, of course, right? But I do believe that we have to go through this journey because it would actually be arrogant to lead others without focusing on self-leadership first and achieving a certain level of mastery in it. And that again, has to do with a lot of different things, right? Self-awareness is always about, yes, our unique brilliance, yes, our authentic greatness, very specific, that's very specific to us. And on the other hand, the shadow side of it, our shortcomings, our limiting beliefs, our inner narrative that might be somehow disempowering, the way we might be received that we don't know about, you know, so how are we perceived, how are our words understood, our biases, our triggers, very important to be aware of those so that we can stop them before it gets bad.
Right? I love that you talk about that need, you know, that need for that self-leadership, and not in a negative context, but mm-hmm. in a positive growth context. I think sometimes, at least with my experience with leaders and managers, is that when you talk about training or development or growth or even coaching, there's this response that, well, am I doing something wrong? Is there something mm-hmm. not right about me? And I think it's important for leaders to recognize how much it's about growth and it's about expansion and it's about becoming more and better as a leader for yourself, but then also for other people. And I think, you know, I talk about my own corporate career, and one of my biggest mistakes was not getting a coach sooner. Was that, you know, I spent most of my corporate career just relying on other leaders and managers within our organization. And once I got a coach, how much that exponentially grew me as a leader, as an executive, and in my perspective, in my understanding, in my awareness. And so I just love that you focus on that positive side of leadership growth and development.
Absolutely. Understanding self is the basis for understanding others. No. Recognizing our own brilliance and greatness helps us not just be more confident, but also to recognize the brilliance in others. And it also removes a need for competition. I believe this is so vital because we waste so much precious energy and time on competition and on resolving conflicts that arise from competition. That's completely unnecessary, right? And on the other side of the coin, as I said before, acknowledging our shortcomings then also allows us to add on new skills to deepen, maybe some skills that we need to deepen, but also partner with others who have talents or skills or studies that we don't have, because we're not supposed to be perfect. We're not supposed to know everything and have everything. Right? None of us is perfect. And that's a really important thing to acknowledge, because once we can acknowledge it in us, again, we can then be more compassionate with other people who are also not perfect and accept all of us as already perfect with our imperfections, although we're not that perfect, that, you know, that perfect that we can never achieve, that concept. So I also think that it makes it easier over time then to reflect on feedback in a way that serves us, and to take that feedback and transform through it again, do something useful with it. And as leaders, I believe we have to allow others to influence us sometimes and not just the other way around, because even our team members, I'm not just saying allow those, you know, above us, in quotation marks, to influence us, but also everybody really, because then it gets easier to influence them when the time comes to do that.
What do you do to help leaders, or what is part of that self-leadership journey in terms of getting in touch with that self or that kind of starting point to know where they are in terms of that leadership journey and then where they're going to focus or where you're going to coach or move them as they continue to transform their performance?
Yes. Thank you for that question. It's a really great one for me, because I love to talk about the holistic approach that I have. I think it's very, very important to give people the opportunity to address the different aspects of who they are and what's still in their potential and what wants to come out, but they haven't been able to bring out yet on their own, right? To start the process, I give them a starter checklist, which is a clarity-finding tool. It's a self-assessment tool in a way. And then we go from there in the first session. We look at a lot of different aspects, not just the typical leadership skills. And I'm never imposing my assumptions, or at least I try to not do that at the beginning of what they need, right? This is why I leave it completely open. I listen to them. I, of course, come up with some potential materials for the first sessions, but I really like to go with the flow, because as they move along, they evolve through this, right? We all do. As we learn more, we change. And I think this is really not just relevant for my coaching clients, it's for everybody. This is why I'm saying this. We focus on presence, for example, leadership presence, that has a lot to do not just with your appearance and how you show up and how you dress and all that. It really has a lot to do with your energy as well. And in business, we don't talk a lot about energy, but energy is critical to build trust, because as you know, Jessica, and science has caught up on this, right? Everything is energy. And we hardly speak about it. It's time to speak more about energy, because you really want to know how to manage your energy. And I'm not talking so much about the level of energy as I'm talking about the quality of energy.
So explain that further, because I think I get what you're talking about, but I think a lot of people, and I certainly wouldn't have maybe a few years ago when I was struggling in the corporate workplace. Tell me a little bit more about what you mean by energy and how we then pay attention to it in terms of our performance as leaders.
Yes. For example, you can prepare energetically before a meeting, before a negotiation, before any challenging situation in your business, right? That's why I also wrote the book Speak Up, Stand Out in China, packed some of those exercises into that book, although they're not only energy exercises. There are also other ways to prepare in that book. Now, let me explain why that is. You probably have heard, as most of our listeners have, that we have 7 seconds to make a first impression. You know, we hear that quite often. The reality, though, is that it only takes 0.07 seconds for our brains to figure out whether we can trust someone. That is a fraction of those 7 seconds. And yes, we can correct it a little bit. However, the energy is what speaks the fastest and the loudest, usually. You know, if your words are not congruent with your energy, then oftentimes the energy speaks louder, because it also translates into your body language. Your body language isn't just your body. It's not just the physical thing. That's why body language doesn't work so well when it's canned, mm-hmm. right? So it really, he still has to feel natural, authentic. You might observe a few things that you might not want to do. You know, you might not want to close up your body by crossing your arms, and basic things. Yes, absolutely. Not standing with your legs crossed as you're speaking on a stage or in the front of a room helps for sure in the way you come across, right? However, it still has to be authentic. And that's what the energy does when you're properly prepared. It's not just the body language, and it's just not just this energy that constantly is in communication, whether we notice it or not. It happens. You know, it's whether you notice it or not, whether you're aware of it or not, it happens. So we better be aware of it. And energy also flows into everything we say, into all your words, everything you think, and everything you do.
So I think you used the statistic. Did you say 0.7 seconds?
0.07
seconds. 0.07
seconds.
So at 0.07 seconds, we're not even consciously aware, right? We're not having any conscious thoughts about whether we can trust a person or not. I work with multiple brain integration techniques, and we talk about our heart brain and our gut brain, and that we have neurons in those spaces. And so it makes me think of that and think of that kind of electromagnetic field that we have that our heart is putting out and that we're connecting with. So we're picking up on what's in someone else's field before we can even consciously look at real examples or look at our experience with them. And you know, and that's all just based on our past, right? Our past experiences, what we've encountered before, and we're making unconscious decisions about that before we can even consciously probably have a thought about who we're talking with, right?
Exactly. And this is why a holistic approach is so important. And you have that too in your own way, right? I talk a lot about heart set, but also in terms of that energy mechanism that I described earlier, it's so fast because it's part of our survival mechanism. So it has to be super fast. You know, of course, we're not always in a death or life situation in business. Most of the time we are not. But our body and our, you know, it picks it up like that, right? You know about the brain. You understand the brain, Jessica. A lot of what's going on in our brain is subconscious. Yes, we have the prefrontal cortex, and it's supposed to have that leading role. It's also called the executive brain for that reason. However, sometimes the amygdala just circumvents it, and we get into an amygdala hijack, and then, you know, the whole prefrontal cortex rational thinking all of a sudden is just put to the side, right?
Well, I think one of the statistics that was the most like eye-opening to me was that 80% of messages are going up to our head brain, and only 20% are coming down. And so I think if you think about that in the workplace or leadership context, that means that there's a whole lot more information that's being sent up, sent up to our head brain to make decisions about either consciously or unconsciously than is coming down. And so there's a lot to become more aware of in order to apply that holistic approach that you're advocating there. What are some of the strategies that you use with leaders, or some of the techniques maybe that you work with them on to help them not just become aware of energy and these challenges, but then how do they put it into practice?
Well, there's two things. As we're already talking about energy and the heart, right? I talk a lot about not just mindset, but heart set as well. So it's a self-empowering mindset and heart set. It's one of the columns of my signature framework, Powerful Leadership Transformation, or PLT. It's one of the frameworks I created. And as you correctly said, the heart's electrical field is up to 5,000 times stronger than the head brain's electrical field. And no, actually not the electrical, the magnetic field, right? Yes, the electrical field is also stronger, but not that much stronger. So and because of this very strong magnetic field of the heart, what happens is then we make connections with others through our hearts. We build relationships basically also through our hearts. And we have this magnetic monopole in our heart, which attracts opportunities. It attracts people into our lives, right? So it's a very complex topic. And the way I think we can harness this power of the heart, which of course includes a lot more than what we just talked about, we can take the time and connect with our heart so that we can actually then tap into the very specific wisdom that our heart holds for us. You could say it has 50% of the intelligence, you know, but it's not, of course, exactly 50-50. The difference, though, between the two types of intelligence of the head brain and the heart brain, in my understanding, are that in the heart, it's very unique wisdom that we have accumulated and gathered over time. And when we take the time to really connect with our hearts, and I share a few exercises also on my YouTube channel on how to do that, I think that's when we learn how to listen to our hearts, when we make the better decisions most of the time also, because just as energy is underrated in business, oftentimes intuition is also underrated. It has a big role in decision-making. Not everything is just due diligence and facts, because oftentimes those facts aren't even facts. That's why I'm doing this, right? Right. The quotation mark signs, because we think they're facts and they oftentimes in hindsight turn out not to be facts at all. And in terms of the energy, I share some tools also on videos and in my book where we really can connect to our inner power energy. I think one area of our bodies where that is easiest for most people is in the solar plexus area, where our personal power resides. And when we get when we use a technique to connect to this power in there and to breathe into it and really focus on it, because as you know, what you focus on expands, then this power expands and we allow it to flow through our bodies and then really out of the top of the head. And then we can surround ourselves with that beautiful power energy. We contain it in a bubble so that it's not just dispersed out everywhere. And this cannot just give us greater confidence, but also enhance our perceived presence. For example, as speakers or as negotiators in meetings, if we think we're not heard and seen enough. A lot of my clients have used those exercises and experimented with them, and you know, they work.
So is that when you talk about exercise, is that just connecting in with kind of that energy to bring it through and bring it out? Or is there more to those exercises to help people put it into practice? Or
yes. So I always say simple is good, because simple is what we actually do, right? There are some exercises that are a little bit more intricate. However, you don't have to do them all the time, right? in their the entire course of the exercise. You can just do it once. Like, for example, you might be familiar with this exercise. It's taken from NLP, where we connect with a feeling of confidence. We anchor it into our muscle memory, and then we can trigger it any time we want. I also included that in the book. That requires a little bit more preparation. However, once you have it, again, it's super quick. It's a matter of just a few seconds. You just use a hand gesture for it. And I think it's really, really important to keep it simple. I did include a variety of techniques and tips in the book, just because different techniques speak to different people. Mm-hmm. You know, some people resonate more with this, some more with the other. So I included elements that relate more to the mental preparation, others that relate more to the physical preparation, some that relate more to the power, the inner power and the energy preparation. You choose what's best for you, what resonates the most, and use that for you.
So what do you see as the benefits? What have you seen with the leaders that you've been coaching as you've been using these approaches, these techniques, you know, helping them, guide them? What do you see the outcomes or the results of these efforts be?
Yes. And especially also when we combine these techniques, of course, also with other knowledge, like, for example, conversational intelligence, language that you can use, right? I have seen big, 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 big success in getting heard in meetings, for example, right? people come back and report back and say, whoa, you know, all of a sudden people actually listened to me in the latest meeting we had. And this guy stopped talking over me and whatnot, right? These are typical examples, but they really happen. And they feel more powerful, more confident in their presentations. They get more traction. They position themselves more successfully in negotiations. They are now able to negotiate those raises and those promotions they want. You know, I had one client last year who negotiated a $50,000 raise.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a big jump. That's a big change.
It is.
And do you attribute all that to that confidence and energy that they, you know, that advocacy for themselves and just really that shifted something?
Well, it's a process, right? I was working with this client for 3 months and it's a transformational process. A lot of different things come into it, hence the holistic approach. Yes, we need some specific skills to negotiate. Yes, we need the positioning, for example, as part of those skills. And the biggest part of it to me is the mindset transformation, the preparation, the energetic preparation, and using the right language, right?
I know you do some work in the workplace around, you know, humanizing the workplace and looking at this, bringing this, you know, consciousness into the workplace. What does that look like? What is the result or what is it that we need to do or look at differently in terms of our workplaces?
Yes, I talk a lot in my work about humanizing the workplace. I talk about value-driven and heart-centered leadership, and that means a variety of things again, right? First of all, heart-centered, why? Because humans are the heart of the organization. And also because of what we discussed earlier together. But first of all, you know, humans are the heart of the organization. They have aspirations, they have desires, they have needs, they have challenges sometimes, and they want to be comfortable sharing their challenges so we can help them through them as leaders. And also because heart-centered, also because our hearts have a crucial role in our relationships. We connect through our hearts, and you know, a lot of people just forget about that in leadership, right? They forget about the heart. Also, heart-centered leadership gives us courage, because courage is in the heart and fear is in the brain, right? In the head brain, I should say, because yes, the heart is a part of the brain, right? Or we could say courage is in the heart and fear is in the mind, yes? Because of course our mind is also another body parts, and it gets very complex when we go to the bottom of it, as you know, as somebody who has studied this. Now, I have also created a new paradigm leadership framework, or NPL framework. And one of the four puzzle pieces of that framework is indeed the heart, because of the reasons I just stated. And then another one is mind, because yes, the mind does impact all we do. It determines our vision. It determines what we can achieve, what we believe we can achieve. Yes. Then the third element of this framework is message. It's all about communication. Whether you say something or not, you communicate. Messages are transmitted. But what are all those components of messaging, of communication? And again, energy is a part of this. And then the fourth element is trust, because trust, it was what glues it all together, right? What holds teams together, what helps us be more successful in our own careers as we build trust also with decision makers and with partners in business, with peers, and of course, with our team members, right? And I think a big piece of it is also the goal to bring out the best in our teams, right? We need to build that trust basis first so that we can encourage our team members to bring more of their best selves to work and to share more and share potential million dollar ideas sometimes, right?
Do you find that there's like an absence of trust in the workplaces that you're working with or where you've used this paradigm? Like, has that been a challenge, or is that a missing, you know, missing piece maybe?
I do believe so. There is a missing piece sometimes, yes. And it can also help my coaching clients specifically. So when I'm not working with like a group, right? Let's just say, okay, I'm working with one person. How can they also increase their or improve their trust building tools, ability, I want to say, to come across as that confident leader they want to be, that compelling leader they want to be, that effective leader they want to be? Because oftentimes they are amazing professionals, but they haven't quite figured out how to build that trust that they're actually be so that they actually can be seen as leaders. Yes. That is something that a lot of my clients struggle with a little bit, and we change this. Now, trust in organizations in general, yes, I can see that there's a lack of this. I think there's not always enough transparent communication going on. There's not always enough time spent on building trust. For example, people might think, team leaders might think, story sharing sessions are a waste of time. But they don't really think about how much time they can actually gain back after they do these sessions. Because now people get to know each other better. You get to know them better. You might share your own story. They get to know you better. And all of this also, in a way, builds trust.
Well, and arguably, if we go back to kind of the beginning of this conversation, time is only one factor. Energy is the other factor. So you actually have a limited amount of time. Like, time is not a changeable factor, but energy is. And so if operating in that way, that engaging in that storytelling shifts or changes that in some way, creates that connection, you can see how that can create better results or better outcomes.
Yes, we cannot manage time, but we can manage our resources and our energy within a certain time frame. We want to make the best of the time we have. Time itself cannot be managed. So I don't actually like the term time management. I never use it because it doesn't make sense to me. It's all about priorities. What are my priorities within the time I have available? And sometimes I need something to be a priority that I can see the longer term effect of, the longer term benefit.
There are certain activities that bring us energy and certain activities that drain us of energy. And so that can be a big factor. We talk about that as a strengths coach, that when I'm using my strengths, I'm in my energy. When I'm high communication, when I'm communicating, creating, writing, I'm actually building up energy because I'm engaged with it. When I have to be in a spreadsheet because I am not analytical and I am not a numbers person, then I start to get drained. Like, anytime I got to do those activities. And so I love that you're not really managing time, because time is unchangeable by its nature. It's finite. It's already predetermined and set. So instead, you manage the thing that you can manage, which is how, what you're doing during that time and how you're managing those activities. And I think what you talked about there is really, really impactful and powerful for people that maybe have always looked at it from a time-based perspective.
Yes, absolutely. You can manage your tasks. You can become more efficient, or whatever you want to do with your tasks, delegate or improve them, or maybe not do them at all because they weren't actually as important as you thought, right? So this is really, really key to manage your tasks and manage your priorities. Now, also to what you just said, Jessica, is what's really important is to be able to bring your passions to work. So again, team leaders, have your team share their passions. you may learn a lot about them, even if it's a seemingly unrelated passion. You know, dance has taught me so much, not just for my own work and for the way I approach energy as well, but really for leadership. It has taught me so many leadership lessons, and it's seemingly unrelated, but it's not in the end. Have your team members share their passions and you may learn a lot. And then what you can do with that is potentially adapt their job description so that they can gain more energy from their activities rather than being drained.
So you've shared so many amazing strategies with us. What any final takeaways or thoughts you want to share with our audience on any of the topics that we've hit on today?
Well, first of all, I love to talk about new business consciousness, and I call it actually, and I know this is a bit daring and maybe, you know, it sounds a bit strange to some people still, but I call it the new business consciousness of love, compassion, and co-creation. And in an article I wrote a few years ago, I asked some what if questions in that context. Like, for example, what if team members at all levels could treat each other with respect? What if we could understand each other better rather than judge each other so much all the time, right? What if we could save energy and frustration by competing less and co-creating more? So there's a lot more of those questions, and I invite everybody to think about these questions. And then also, I think for the individual, what's really, really important is in terms of your own success is to remember that no one is in charge of your career but you. And that's also what you want to instill in your team members as a leader. Allow them to empower themselves and guide them along the way. I would say no one can empower you but yourself. We can guide people along the way, but really allow people to unfold as people, but also to bring out that potential that they have inside of them. We all have unlimited potential, and there's so much you might not have seen yet.
I love everything that you shared with us today. I think you're absolutely right. You know, humanizing the workplace and looking at people as who they are and what they have to contribute. And instead of looking at them as parts of a machine, just really looking at them as the human beings that they are and how to align who we are and how we operate, how we actually neurologically and physiologically operate as human beings with the work that we're getting done, that is going to be for sure the secret sauce for organizations in the future. And even organizations today, I think those that are at the forefront of this are really going to see the benefit and the growth and the results. And I love your final comment on that. The only person who owns your career is you. Cause that I think, I lost sight of during my career of, you know, who really owns where I'm going, what I'm doing, what progress I'm making. And I think if leaders and managers want to see that growth and development, really getting tuned in with that is so powerful. Right. Well, thank you, Regina, so much for coming on today. It was a fantastic discussion. We will include in the show notes links to your book. I know it's on Amazon and your website and all your different social media and different links that you have available for people to reach out to you who may be interested in this type of coaching or support or approach. And I just want to thank you again for coming on and having this conversation today. So thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Jessica, for having me. You had amazing questions that, you know, allowed us to have this conversation today. I really appreciate that. And if any of the listeners is really committed to their own leadership success and would like some support, then I also have a free complimentary session at this time. And you could book a time slot for your what I call your leader up level session. We're also going to add that link as well. It's very simple. Transformyourperformance.com is my website. And then it's /leader up level. I'm here for you.
Perfect. I love it. That's always great to have that opportunity. You guys go grab that. Take advantage of that free opportunity. Have that conversation with Regina and learn a little bit, up level your leadership a little bit. So as we wrap up today's episode, I just want to remind everybody to just always keep evolving and growing in all of your skills and all that you do. Have a wonderful rest of your day.